If we want to live like a Buddhist, to uphold those principles and those values of this practice, if we want to live as a Buddhist, it means that we must want to see life very carefully, not just casually, but carefully. We want to see life carefully so that we can see what's needed in life, and so that we can take care of what's needed. To take care of what's needed in a large universal sense, with a very big mind and a very big heart. You know, to take care of things, not just in a handy way or practical way, but with a bodhisattva attitude. To live the Buddhist life is a little bit unusual. It kind of escapes people. You know, that's both today, nowadays, and always through history. The Buddhist life has been a little bit out of reach. And of course, today's life is very fast, very complex, and very uncertain. And the situations in our society are not stable, and they're not reliable. So life these days is more stressful and more unreliable than ever before. And it means that people are finding it harder to be reliable. Even though they want to be, it's harder to be reliable. So we have the feeling when we hear the news, read the news, and see and feel what's going on in the world, we feel that the world is in crisis, you know. Nothing is reliable. And the spirit of our practice rests on the principle that the world needs someone to be reliable and trustworthy. Someone and many, many someones. If people are not willing to be reliable and trustworthy, everything is lost. All society will be lost. But the Buddhist is the one who is reliable and trustworthy. This is the mark of the bodhisattva. So who will be the Buddhist? Who among us will be the true Buddhist? Who will be like the big tree that will provide the coolness in the heat of life, in the heat of the day, and protect the beings on the ground from the rain? Who will be that big tree? So these days, more than ever, the world needs people who are trustworthy and reliable. So Suzuki Roshi pointed this out. When you see human life carefully, he said, you will see the need to be trustworthy. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be famous. That is beside the point. It's enough just to simply help our neighbor. help who's ever nearby. To be ready to do that, to help. So the purpose of Buddhism is really to see carefully what is needed and be reliable and trustworthy. Because our neighbors and our friends and even strangers need help. There's always someone who needs help everywhere, somewhere. Need help in many ways. So we ourselves should always be ready to help in whatever way we can. Whenever it's in our capacity, we help whenever we can, not turning away. So, when you go to the monastery, you notice that the senior monk at the monastery, or the head monk, the one who is supposed to be the model for the other monks during the training period, the head monk is the one who is designated as the garbage collector. Collecting garbage is a very important duty. And the head monk is given this job because it is considered to be the most undesirable job. Dirty and smelly, and especially in the rain when you have to carry these heavy cans up to the garbage site and you slip in the mud and you fall down. The garbage collector is a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. So they give it to the head monk with the idea that let's have the head monk provide the model for everybody else. The head monk will provide the model, the discipline, the reliability. And when people see the head monk carry the garbage, they will be inspired. The feeling is, of course, the assumption is that most people don't like to carry out the garbage. Dirty job. Very much like when it comes time to clean the weekly cleaning of your room or your living space. Time to clean the room. And quite often people don't clean in the deepest corners of the room. Ignore the deepest corners. They just clean what's visible. And so they ignore the deep hidden places that need to be cleaned. Like when you clean the bathroom, do you clean behind the toilet? Place where nobody sees. Invisible place. Do you clean it anyhow? So our practice, you know, is to learn how to take out the garbage and to clean the corners and the hidden spots of where we live. If we didn't do that, if we didn't take out the garbage or clean the corners, if we ignored those tasks, then our room and our entire world would become very messy. Very messy. And because someone does it, because the garbage is taken away and the room is clean, we can feel good. We feel good in a clean room. We feel good when we can live in the clean world. So because someone works hard people can enjoy their life. Sometimes these little tasks are felt to be not exciting or not pleasurable, so they get ignored. But if someone doesn't do it, it's a messy place. Becomes a place of crisis. So, to be Buddhist, to lead the Buddhist life, is to understand this point, and to understand our role in it, and our role in the world, and to step up and take care of things when we can. So much has been written about Zen practice and Buddhism concerning what's known as the way-seeking mind. To develop the mind of practice, the mind that is drawn towards practice. It is said that when we arise, the way-seeking mind, we will just naturally be drawn to practice. We will want to practice so that we can polish, you know, the way-seeking mind. And when this impulse comes to us, first time, it's called the very first enlightenment, or the very first awakening. And when it happens, when we start to see things in a large way like that, we don't know exactly what to do. We may be uncertain about how to proceed and how to practice. We may be confused. When we don't yet know the meaning of being a trustworthy person. And in the beginning, we may need lots of encouragement from other people. And when our old habits are still present, this encouragement may be in the form of some kind of candy, you know. And so in our practice, sometimes we do have to give candy to encourage people, to get them started. So our world these days is not so easy. Not just these days, but throughout history, living in this world is not easy. There's so many things that change, and so many things that threaten, so many things that create anxiety. So we have to learn the meaning of being reliable and trustworthy, and we have to at the same time be careful of being fooled by candy. So it means we have to be strict with ourselves, pay attention to ourselves, not get swept away. I think part of the difficulty in the world these days is that people are too quick to be critical with each other. But mostly, the problem is mostly people become critical of themselves. When we cannot accept ourselves, that's when we feel we need candy. Some people are on a continuous diet of candy. It means they are too critical of themselves. So, problem arises when we are ready to accept candy, but we are not ready to accept ourselves or ready to accept others. When this is the case, we will not be able to see life carefully. And we will not be able to understand the meaning of reliability and the meaning of consistency. So this practice is about understanding who we really are. So we can accept ourselves and others in a very large sense. So we talk about ready mind, beginner's mind, Zen mind, ready mind. Our practice means always being always ready to accept whatever comes. And to be ready to accept whatever appears immediately in front of us without judging or avoiding means we have to give up any idea we have about ourself. Some image we have of ourself, we need to let that go so we can be ready to accept whatever appears. By giving up these ideas about ourselves, we are ready then to accept ourselves in a very large sense, Buddhist sense. Accept ourselves and accept others just as we are, just as they are. This readiness of mind to accept is how we prepare ourselves to take care of any situation and to take care of our entire life. And this readiness of mind and acceptance is how we can remain in the center of our life and not on the fringes. You know, our life will, we will always experience difficulty in our life. Life is full of unexpected difficulties. But these difficulties give us the chance to arise our way-seeking mind. And arising the way-seeking mind is how we can start our practice and get on the right track. So the attitude we keep in our practice is not to cover up our difficulty, not to push it aside, but to face it. When you read the stories of the most respected Zen masters of the past, you see in their stories that they faced very difficult times when they were young, when they were young monks, and even before they became monks, they faced very difficult times. And facing these difficulties, they polished their practice and became very well respected. So, when you go to the monastery, the life there is very simple and it's very monotonous, same thing every day. The work can be very hard, like taking garbage. And it's not particularly exciting. there is nothing to enjoy, nothing particular to provide enjoyment. There is no candy. Nothing to enjoy, and it's very quiet. And it's very repetitious. And if we go there, and we can start to let go of our desire for excitement, and entertainment, if we can let that go, we will be able to see things and see our own mind very carefully. This is the point of a monastic training. Be bored. But after a while, you don't see boredom as a bad thing. In this monastic tradition was in China for many centuries, and also in Japan for a long time. Long tradition of monastic practice and training of monks to be reliable and trustworthy. And this is the tradition of those places. Now, here, the U.S. and in the West, how many will stay in the monastery? How many will stay in the place that's boring and repetitious to practice? Who will practice this simple, monotonous, quiet way of life? The ones who will do it are the ones who truly want to live the Buddhist life and see things with a big mind. So, most people who try Zazen practice don't appreciate it, because the mind is still in a state of desire, a state of grasping. Zazen offers us nothing to hold on to, and for many people this is a big problem. You know, if you go to the Stanford Shopping Center and all of the stores are empty, you don't stay. You'd be surprised and disappointed, and you say, "There's no point staying here. Nothing for me here." So Zazen is like that. When you first come to Zazen, you're expecting something, some shopping maybe, something, and you discover it's empty of all those things. And so you want to go where it's, the shelves are stocked full. So it's hard in this day and age and in our tradition to have the patience to appreciate Zazen. In Zazen, you know, there is nothing to hold on to, there is nothing to grasp and nothing to buy, nothing to attain. And so when people come, first time visitors come, and we try to explain the practice and encourage them and provide a little bit of candy, and they say, "Why do we? Why do you do this?" And we say, "No reason." Oh, some candy, a little bit of candy. So we try to take care of people who we know we'll need some help to just get started and appreciate the attitude that we have in our practice. So it's true that when we start to practice, we have a kind of itchiness. We can't stay still. We cannot keep from grasping. In our practice, we want to learn how to not grasp, because we know it leads to all kinds of disappointments. Like going to the store, at the shopping center, and you find the door closed. Let me in. If we can do this practice, which in Japanese, in the Zen language, is called a shikantaza. Shikantaza means just quiet sitting. If we can do shikantaza without expecting anything, we will be able to do anything necessary in our life. Just to be completely here on our cushion when it's time to be here, or and just to be completely there wherever you are, this is our practice. To be here, wherever here happens to be, on the cushion or on the freeway or in the shopping center. When we can continue this kind of spirit in our daily life, we will have many awakenings, many small awakenings. But without this kind of spirit, the world will be a messy place and we will be discouraged. When we feel the messiness of the world and the crisis that the world is in, and we feel ourselves are in some kind of crisis, we turn to the practice. So the ultimate truth, or the first truth of our being, arises in sitting quietly. And starting with the various difficulties that we bring. We all bring some difficulties. So we come to our cushion with difficulties and learn to just sit quietly without the expectation. And sitting on our cushion with the itchiness of grasping mind is the biggest difficulty. But if we start there, if we can start there with some sincerity and say, I'm going to learn about this, I'm not going to be overwhelmed by this. If we can start there, we will become reliable. But without this dedication, without this spirit, it can't be done. And our life remains messy, and the world remains a messy place. So Suzuki Roshi said, when you see how the world is, you know that somebody has to step up and be trustworthy. This is the spirit of our practice.